Turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. Proverbs, chapter 3. And I'll be reading from verses 8, 9, and 10. Proverbs, chapter 3. Verse 9. Honor the Lord with your wealth, and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Eternal Father, speak to our hearts today. May we understand the principles of giving. And may we understand truly that we can never outgive you, because you gave us your very best, your Son, Jesus Christ. May we be transformed by the renewing of our mind as we hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I've entitled this message, The Principles of Giving. This will be our final message in this series, and we have spoken about money. Money does matter in our life. Money matters in our economy. Money even matters in the spiritual realm. Jesus spoke a lot about money during his time on earth. And I believe that he understood that money would be an issue for his disciples. And God wants us to really, really understand how we are to view money and how we are to use it for his kingdom. Money in and of itself is not bad. It's all about how we view money and how we choose to live in this area when it comes to money. And the first thing I want to tell you is that giving has everything to do with our attitude. Giving has everything to do with our attitude. We should all have an attitude of gratitude to God. And when we are grateful for what God has done in our lives through giving us his Son, Jesus Christ, it allows us to have an attitude of gratitude that leads to of not only first giving ourselves, but also giving all that we are and all that we have to God, even including our money. Our attitude motivates our giving. When I am grateful, when I am thankful to God for what he has done in my life, then it releases me to show that in the way that I give. God wants us to have an attitude of gratitude when it comes to giving. You show me a person who is grateful, who truly understands God's grace in their life, who truly understands that without God there are nothing. I will show you a person who then begins to operate with an attitude of saying, God, I give to you what you've already given to me. I give it to you with a grateful heart. So many of us, many people, many Christians, the reason why they struggle to give God financially is it could be that they don't really have an attitude of gratitude in the area of their salvation. God wants us to understand that God has given to us more than we can ever give back to him. So that's why it says in verse 9 of Proverbs 3, honor the Lord. The key to giving is to honor the Lord. We are to honor the Lord in all that we do. We are to honor the Lord in our living. We are to honor the Lord in our giving. So when I begin to think about giving, I'm saying, God, I'm giving to you, and this gift that I'm giving to you, this monetary gift, is a way that I honor you for who you are and what you have done in my life. So the question is not to look at first, should I give 10%, should I give 20%? The question is, how can I honor the Lord with my wealth? Honor God with your wealth. My attitude motivates my giving. Your attitude motivates your giving. The second point of this is my identity in God releases me to give freely. Let me say that again. My identity in God releases me to give freely. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. I want you to understand something. As a Christian, our identity is not in our material possessions. Our identity is in Jesus Christ. Our identity is in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. That is what my identity is in. And when my identity is in God and not in my material possession, then I am free to release them and to give them to God because my identity is in Jesus Christ. So the question I must ask myself, and you must ask yourself, where does your identity lie? Is your identity in your house? Is your identity in your car? Is your identity in your job? Is your identity in your checkbook? Where is your identity? Because most people will try and fight to preserve their identity. But for the Christian, it is not so. Our identity is not in our possessions. Our identity is in Christ. And because our identity is in Christ, I am free to give to God with a cheerful and a grateful heart because I know that if my identity is in God, all that I give to him, it is safe and God will bless it and God will honor it because I'm honoring what my identity is tied to, which is Jesus Christ. Giving has everything to do with my attitude and with my identity. And if my identity is in God, it releases me to freely give to God. Where is your identity today? Ask yourself, what hinders you from giving freely to God? What hinders you from withholding what rightfully belongs to God? And I think for many people, we try to get people to give out of guilt. I say that giving is really all about the heart. Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In other words, I believe that if your identity is in your treasure, that's where your heart would be. But if your identity is in Jesus Christ, your heart would be with him, and he has everything that you own. Because we are only stewards. God is the owner. Giving has everything to do with our attitude and our identity. And thirdly, giving has everything to do with our priority. Priority will determine the amount of giving. It says again, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. It says first fruits, not last fruits. And the first fruits means the best. I give God first, not last, but first. He is to have priority in my life, in my living, but also in my giving. The question is, do I give to God last or do I give to God first? And many of us, we prioritize our budget where we pay our bills. We begin to spend on leisure. Then we might save a little bit. And then if we have anything left over, then we come and give God an offering. But yet we really give God leftovers. So we're not giving God first fruits, we're giving God last fruits, but yet we say, God, we love you, we honor you, you are the most important thing in my life, yet and still when it comes to our finances, God is always last place. It shouldn't be that way. So the principles of giving means that, hey, my attitude is that, listen, God, I love you. I am grateful. My identity is in you. And because my identity is in you, I'm going to put you first in my life. And that's even in the area of my finances. I'm going to honor you with my wealth. I'm going to give you a best offering. We serve a great God. Now, God needs nothing from you, but God deserves everything from you. See, God doesn't need your money, but he should get your money. He says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your produce. Talks about priority. Some of us got to change our priority. We got to change what we prioritize. We prioritize everything else but God in our finances. Your kids shouldn't even come before God. Not to mess some of your kids shouldn't come before God.
Because God gave you those kids. God gave them to you. So why am I going to put what God gave to me before God? Your wife shouldn't come before God. Because God gave it. It should be God, then family. And the family part should be your spouse, then your children. But nothing comes before God. I love Lynette, but she don't come before God. God is first in my life. She loves me, but God is first in her life. There's no debate about that. So I got to honor God. He has to be first in my life. And when he's first in my life, it shows up in every area of my life. It shows up in my finances. It shows up in my checkbook. God, I'm putting you first. I'm not putting you last. So fourthly is this. In order for me to put God first, I must have this confidence that God will supply my needs. Look what it says in verse 10. When I honor the Lord with my wealth, with the first fruits of your produce, then it says in verse 10, then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. What he's saying, and he's talking from an agricultural culture, when they had to, they was farmers, most of them, and what he was saying is that when you got a good crop, the best you got should go to God. Now, that's not natural, because when you get a first crop, for most people, we're selfish. The best goes to who? For us. I get for myself. And where he's saying, no, the best you get that comes from God, you take that and you honor God and you give it to him. You give him the first fruits, and because you're saying, I'm giving God the best because I know that he's the one provided anyway. And what he's saying here, that when I honor God with my money, then he says, God will take care of you. He says, then your barns will be filled with plenty. Other words, what he's saying, you can't outgive God. That God would take care of you. God will supply your needs, because God does not have any child that he can't take care of. God's not an absentee father. Every child that he produces, he takes care of. He does. And what this principle is saying to you, the principle is this. When I honor God with my finances, God would take care of me and I would never have lack. God would give me what I need. If I trust him, if I have an attitude, if I have an identity and I make him priority, I can have confidence that God will meet my needs. And many people don't give to God because they don't have confidence that God will supply their needs. Now, notice I said something. I said needs, not greed. God will supply your needs. Now, God is so good. I'm going to tell you how good God is. God is so good that he would not only give you your needs, he'll give you some of your wants. I said, really? Yeah. Now, how many of us, once again, we have kids, right? Have you supplied your kids' needs? Raise your hand. Now, I gave my kids some things that they want. They don't need it. But I just gave it to them because they said, hey, they asked for something. I said, here you go. Now, I don't give them everything they want. But something they want, I give it to them. You know why I give it to them? You know why? Because I'm a good father. Now, seriously. God says, and God equates that to me. He says, now, if you, a father, earthly father, who is evil compared to God, know how to give your children good gifts, how much more will your heavenly father give good gifts to those who ask? What are you saying, Dimitri? If you think you're a good father to your children, what makes you think that I'm not better than you? And you're my child. That I promised to meet your needs, but I give you some stuff that you need, that you wanted. Case in point, Solomon. God came to Solomon with a blank check. Hey, Solomon, ask for whatever you want, and I give it to you. Now, parents, don't do it to your kids. You'll be in trouble. They're gonna tell you what they want. He said, Solomon, whatever you want, ask for it. And Solomon said, God, give me wisdom to lead your people. Because I'm a young man, these are your people, and you've made me the king. Give me wisdom to lead your people. You know what God says? Okay, I'm gonna give you that. Then he says this, but since you didn't ask for the life of your enemies, all wealth and riches, I'm going to give it to you as a bonus. No man will ever be as rich as you, Solomon. I'm going to give it to you. That lets me know, and you know, God has no problem with money. God has no problem with wealth. God has no problem with giving it to you or to me. We have a problem with wealth because we have a problem with honoring God with it, and we have a problem with giving it and sharing it with other people. We become hoarders. It's all about me and my crew. Is that really true? It's about honoring God. So yes, God will bless you. God will meet your needs financially. God will take care of your needs. But the question is, are you honorable servants? What's your attitude? What's your identity? Is God a priority in your life? Are you confident in God? I am. I'm confident that God will meet my needs. God has met our needs. And this is so amazing that I want to share this with you guys. Me and Lynette went to a pastor's and wives retreat in Palm Springs. So we go there, have a two-day retreat, nice, put on by the Southern Baptist Convention, and it's just a great time. So we're there at this event, and they have a little, they give away a lot of, you know, free gifts and stuff. So anyway, so we have breakout sessions with just the men with the men and the women with the women. So the pastor says, hey, I want you guys to know, man, your wives are going to get hooked up today. You're getting a whole bunch of gifts, all this stuff. And then he says, we're at this, we're at the Hyatt Regency, and they want to give 5 complimentary spa packages to the women. That's, you know, 5 of them to the women. So your wives over there, 5 women going to win this. Now, I'm sitting there, in here, and I say to my brain, I say to myself, man, I would love for Lynette to win that. That's all I say. I would love for Lynette to win that. So we have a break, and we go to lunch to have lunch with everybody. So I said, hey, you know, I heard you guys got 5 spa packages. You know, did you get one? She said, no, but she won one. And she said, oh, I said, well, that's cool. So as I'm getting ready to sit down and eat, this lady comes to Lynette. I can see them talking, and I see an envelope, and the lady comes over and gives it to Lynette. And I don't know what it was, but she comes to me, hey, this lady just gave me her spa package. And the lady says to Lynette, hey, I was just praying. God, who do I want to give this to? Now, the lady doesn't really, she spoke to her once, but they don't even know one another. She said, Lord, tell me, I gave this to you. So I gave it to you. I said, man, praise. I said, baby, I just said, Lord, it'd be good if the neck got one of those. So, first lady got her a facial. No, it was worth about $200. So, check this out. So we have another breakout session. So we sit in there, and the guy said, oh yeah, we got some gifts for the man. And they have this, it's this computer software called Logos Bible Software. Now, I use that, you know, on my computer, studying for sermons, and it helps you break down all the stuff. So I already have it, but I want to upgrade it. So the guy said, hey, we're going to pull a name, and we're going to give this free software to the lucky person. So I'm sitting there, the guy pulls out a guy's name. Guy's name is John Hope. Hey, he gets it, and he gets it. I said, man, that'd be nice if we'd have got one of those. But that was it. So I'm standing outside, we are outside doing something, and I'm on my phone talking to the kids about something, and the guy comes to me and says, hey, man, you know, we get off your phone. I'm looking at him like, and he says to me, hey, I was praying who to get this to, and I came over here to you. Do you want this? God, the Lord told me to give this to you. I'm like, yeah. God gave it to me. It was worth $500. Just said, hey, here you go. And I told Lynette, I said, baby, I was in the room, and I said, man, I wish I told her, I'd like to get one of those. I said, I'm going to keep saying something like that, because everything I said, the Lord's keep getting, I mean, maybe I need to say something else, because I'm like, this is just, it's just happening. I mean, it just boom, right? I'm like, I mean, it was just, so I kid you not, while we was there, we got so much free stuff, and I calculated, and I added it up, it came up to $1,172 that gave it to us. Think about that. And I'm thinking, man, I didn't need that. And like God said something to me, I know you didn't need it, but I'm just that good. I just gave it to you. And what I'm trying to say to you, and what I'm saying to me, when we honor God with our lives, God takes care of his children. He will meet your needs, give you some stuff you don't even want. I just, hey, here you go. Because God does that to his people. And so I just want to share that with you. That you can never outgive God. And you can't. And I was thinking about this when Peter said to Jesus, when the rich man left. And then Jesus said, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And then Peter says to Jesus, look, Lord, we left all to follow you. We left our job. Because Peter was a fisherman. He was a CEO. He owned his own fishing. He left that to follow Jesus. And Jesus told him, Peter. Now, Jesus did not argue with Peter and say, that's not true. He said, yeah, that is true, Peter. But I want you to know, anybody who left houses, jobs, wife, a mother for my sake would never go lacking. That's what he's paraphrasing and saying. And what I'm saying to you is this. Is that when you, when God tells you and you offer something to God, you're never going to have a lack. You don't have to worry about that. He'll take care of you. And God honors those who put him first. He honors that. Now, when you put God last, then he may put you in the back burner. But he honors those who put him first in their lives. So we're going to talk about how should we give. How should we give? How should we give to God? Number one, we should make giving a priority. Now, I already said this, but I'm going to say it again. We're going to make giving a priority. Matthew 6, 32, 13 says, seek first God's what? Kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. Do you know that God told his children, don't seek food, shelter, and clothing? Don't seek after those things. Seek me. God says, don't seek after that stuff. You seek me, and I will meet those needs. And what happened, we have reversed that. We started seeking the stuff God said, don't seek, and we put him last. So I got my career, my job, I got all this stuff I put first, and God is last. And yet God says, flip that. Put me first, and I'll take care of your career, your family, your job, your food. I'll take care of you. Seek me first. Seek my kingdom. Because the only thing that's going to last is not your job, not your house. It's God's kingdom. So why are we putting so much stock into temporary things and put no value in what's eternal? Most of us are storing and giving our time, our money, and the stuff that is temporary that's not going with us. Your house, your car, your clothes is not going with you to heaven. Job said this, naked I came in, naked I'm going out. We should just put a sheet around you and say, well, he's gone or she's gone. Baby comes in naked, old man gonna leave out of here bald-headed naked. Go, just... We're going to put a suit on you. We ain't going to take you out like that. But what he's trying to say is this. Someone said, whether you're rich or you're poor, your grave plot is the same size. It doesn't matter. You're not taking it with you. So we should make giving a priority in our church. Now, I'm going to bring it home. I'm going to give it in the living room. We should make giving a priority here at Beyond the Walls. Not right here. If this is your church where you, I'm a member of this church, you're my pastor, this is my family, your giving priority should be here first. Not about, well, I give out there. No, well, but you're here though. You get you know, God's blessing you here. So your giving should be here first. Now, prime example of that is so, I wish she was here, but she's not, she's still on vacation. Miss Connie is having a good time. She said, Pastor, I might be in New Orleans, I might be in Mississippi, I might be in Chicago. She just traveled, having a great time. Now, she told me that about 3 weeks ago. She was, hey, Pastor, I'm going to be gone. I'm going to have a great time. Then she said this to me, I'm leaving, but I'm leaving my money here. I'm going to be going on vacation, but I'm leaving my money here. Here's my check. Even though I won't be here, my money's going to be here because this is my home church. This is my family. I'm going on vacation, but Jesus' money ain't going on vacation with me. It's going to stay right here. Now, that's priority. Some folks go on vacation. Who go on vacation? They money do too. Now, I don't know about you. That's not how I run my house. If I go on vacation for 2 weeks, Bank of America still want their mortgage payment. I can say, hey, I have not been in that house for 2 weeks. I've been gone for 2 weeks. I have not lived in that house for 2 weeks. I don't have to, hey, I'm giving you half. Is that going to fly? They don't care. They don't care about that. So why do we as Christians believe, okay, I go to this church, I'm going to be gone for a whole month, so that means that if I'm not here, I don't have to give. Is that No, priorities, no, I need to give here. This is my church home. I'm putting God first. See, as people get quiet, oh, man, I don't know about that. But that's how you're supposed to give, to be first here. So you shouldn't say, I'm going to go out to dinner and do all that, then I come in here and well, I just throw something down because, hey, somebody else is going to take care of that. No, God's been good to you. God's been good to me. This is my church. This is God's blessing me. So I'm going to give to my church first. God's a priority in my life. God's kingdom is first here. That's what we need you to do. That's what everybody should do here. It took me a while to get that. To my brother who was my mentor, loved me enough to confront me. See, mentorship asks you questions you don't want to answer. Hey, how's your thought life? Looking into porn lately? How's your prayer life? How's you praying with your wife lately? How's your devotion life? You reading your Bible this week? Hey, how's your giving? How'd you find out? Do you give to the Lord first? Is he priority? Well, man, you know how it is. Yeah, I do, but do you give to the Lord? Man, no, God knows my heart. He does know your heart. Jeremiah said that. Your heart is wicked and deceitful. Who can know it? God knows it. I ask you a question. Are you giving to God first priority? No. But why aren't you? Well, you know, all kind of excuses. Man, do you want God to bless you? Well, no, hasn't God already blessed you? Yeah, man. Well, do you think he deserved better than that little sorry answer? For all of us here, God deserves better than us coming in here, giving him last fruits and not first fruit. He deserves better than that from you, from me. We serve a great God. And one thing that is my job as a pastor, as being your pastor, is to help you understand how to live for God. Because you may not never knew that. But now you know. Now you know. You have four servants to tell you, man, hey, I need to change some things around. Because see, what we can't do is keep singing and joking and say we love God, but yet it never shows up in our life and our finances. Because then it says, wait a minute, you really don't love God. Because faith without works is dead. So we want to talk about that. Is God a priority in your life? Is he a priority in your finances? Look at your budget. Where's he at? Last? Or is he first? Secondly, we should give in proportion to our income. Hello. We should give in proportion to our income. Now, for some of us, God has prospered us to make money. Nothing wrong with that. You shouldn't be embarrassed about that. You shouldn't be feeling guilty. God has blessed you to make money. And you should give in proportion to your income. If God has blessed you much financially, should you be giving much financially? See, you say, if God's blessed me financially with money, I shouldn't walk in and say, give him less and say, man, God's blessed me. You should be able to tell it through my giving. I should not have to ask you, has God blessed you financially? We should know it. It should show up in how we give. It should. If God bless me financially, you should know. It should be showing up in, because he says, blessing with the first fruits of your produce. So we should give God in proportion to our income. That means the fact that I should not expect Devonay to give God as much money as I give God. You know why? She don't have a job. So there's no way she should be giving what I give. She don't have a job. But she coming in here and give, okay, I'm going to take my allowance and I'm going to cut it in half and I give it and she give it more than me, that's a problem. Right? Hello, anybody out there? Man, I'm here by myself. 1 Corinthians 16, look at this right here. Verse 1, Paul's talking about the collection for the saints. He says, now concerning that, see, I love Paul so much that Paul talks about money to the church, to the people. See, what we have done in so much as pastors, we've either got afraid to talk about or we feel guilty. We won't even broach the subject with people. Well, I just say, you know what? I might as well just be that odd one. I'm going to talk about it. Because if you don't talk about it, because one thing that I heard, this is, I'm going to give Cara some credit for this, and so I got you. We was talking one day best about something, and she said this phrase, and I said, man, that's one of the smartest things I ever heard you say. So I'm going to keep that. And she said, sometimes, Pastor, you have to teach people how to treat you. I said, man, that's good. But what that means is sometimes we're to teach people, no, all the time, we're to teach God's people how to treat God. Do you know that God told the people how to build a tabernacle for him? He told Moses what it should look like, what this material. He said, God was telling them, I want the best from you. So God teaches his people how to give to him. Give me your first fruit. I don't want your last. I want your first. I want your best. Look what it says in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 16. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so you are also to do. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up, as he may prosper. Now, that word, as he may prosper, it really means in the Greek, it really is saying, as he has prospered, in proportion to his income. What Paul was saying to these people, some of you are rich, some of you are poor. And what he's saying, I'm not expecting those who are poor to give as much as those who are rich. He said, I'm not asking for equal amount, I'm asking for equal sacrifice. And see, what God is saying here, I want equal sacrifice, not equal giving. Some person giving is going to vary. Remember I told you last week the example? Jesus talked about the lady. Many rich people gave out of their abundance. But she gave out of her poverty. She gave a penny. They gave some 20s. What would you want? 20s, right? But God looked at her and said she gave 100% of all she had. They gave out of their abundance. She gave everything. He says, wow, look at that type of faith. So yes, we are to give out of our income in proportion of our income. So if you're saying God's blessed me with a great job and blessed me with this, blessed me with that, does it show up in your giving? Does it show up? Or does it show up in your shopping? Thirdly is this. We should give sacrificially. The example of our giving is not Abraham. It's not Moses. The example for giving is God. So you want to talk about giving? Your example should be God. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 8. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love is also genuine. Paul says that I can prove your love is genuine by how you're giving. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. He said that Jesus did that. He gave sacrificially. He gave sacrificially. He gave until it hurt. He gave everything. How do we give? How do you give? Does it hurt? Do you think about it? Or he's like, I didn't even think about this. We should give sacrificially to a God who sacrificed everything for us. Think about that. Do you do that? Is that where your heart is? Or are you like most some people say, I can be, how much can I give God? I mean, you're just making sure I don't, you know, I'm on good graces. Or do I say, you know what, God, I love you. It's all yours. I want to sacrificially give to you because you bless me, my family. My next point, we should give purposefully also. We should give with a purpose. And let me say this. I'm going to scripture, but I want to say this because I think it helps. We need to grow up in our faith as Christians. Do you plan to give when you come to church? Now, what I mean by that, do you plan to give, or is it like a shock to you that there's a giving slide coming up here? So do you only think about giving when this PowerPoint slide comes up? Or have you thought about it before you got here? Because if I think about it before I get here, that means God was in my mind. It was in the budget. I was thinking about it before I came. It wasn't a surprise that I was to give. We give purposefully. We plan it. We know when we come here, we've talked about it. And my wife talked about it. Hey, we want to honor God. This is what we're going to honor God with today. This is the number. This is what we're going to do. We're going to write the check. We're going to honor him. It's not going to be a surprise to us. We're not going to, oh, well, just hurry up and you got anything in your pocket? You want any change, loose change? No, we've talked about it. And if you haven't talked about it, then you're not serious about giving to God. Ladies, men, if you're married, now I know I'm really getting your business. If you and your husband are not sitting down talking about, hey, how much are we going to give this week based on our income to God, and you're not sitting down talking about it and praying about it, you're not serious about it. You're not serious about it. Do you buy a house without talking to your wife about it? Would that mean you're in trouble? You wouldn't do that. Think about it. If we're going to be kingdom men, we should do that. If we're going to be men who walk with Jesus. Hey, it's a blessing to hear your wife say or your spouse say to you, baby, we can give a little more than that this week. God's been good to us. We can give a little more than that. We can. Let's do that. Let's bless him. Let's do this. Yeah. Amen. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 16, Paul was in prison, and the Philippian church was taking care of Paul's need. They sent a gift to him. And it says in verse 16, well, it actually started in verse 14. He says, it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received the full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice, acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and the glory in Christ Jesus. To God our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. They gave purposely to meet Paul's needs. It says that they partnered with him in the gospel. It was a partnership. So when you give it, you are partnering with God and building his kingdom up. You are partnering with God and you're giving for a purpose to meet the needs. Remember I said God gives us money to provide for his children and to further his kingdom? That's why you give. That's a purpose. To meet the needs of the people in the church and also to provide for his kingdom. That's why you do that. And God, and then he says right here, hey, listen, that the gift you gave was like a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. Think about it. So when you're giving, is it a sacrifice? Is it acceptable? Is it pleasing to God? That's how you honor God. And then he says, you can be confident that my God will supply all your needs in his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. When I understand that, I'm confident I can give. So last point quickly, we should give cheerfully. That goes back again to the attitude. God loves a cheerful giver. He loves that. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now keep reading this. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work, as it is written, He has distributed freely, he has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now look at verse 10. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Man, look at that. That's powerful. That's good stuff. Now, he's using an agricultural term. He said, listen, you need a farmer needs seed in order to plant something in the ground. And that's what he says, when you give God your first fruits of your produce, God's going to give you more seed to plant. See, we let the prosperity people just hijack that, and we're afraid to use it. I'm not afraid to use it. What Paul is saying here is this, is that when you sow to God, it's like planting a seed, and God will give you more seed to plant because he can trust you because you become a seed planter. And you will have an increase, and God says, yeah, as you begin to sow bountifully, God says, I give you more seed because now I can trust you. I can trust you with my seed, so I'm going to give it to you. Because you are an honorable servant. Some of us, God says, I don't even trust you. Because you're dishonoring me with what you already have. What he's saying to us, God will supply seed to the sower. So that you will increase the harvest of your righteousness. Look what he says in verse 11. You will be enriched in every way to be what? Generous. In every way. God doesn't enrich you for you. He says he enriched you to be generous in every way. Which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. Wow, that's powerful. God said, I want to use you to bless you so you can be a blessing to someone else so that you can be generous and I can get the glory for it. Isn't that amazing? So you should be a gift for should give cheerfully, because God wants to give through you, not only just to you. So my conclusion is this: thank God for his provision in your life. Thank God for it. But become a cheerful, I would say, become a giver, not just a consumer. A consumer eats the seed; a giver plants the seed. Are you a giver or are you a consumer here? I said this before. Ask you again, don't answer. If everybody gave like me, would our church make it? If everybody gave the same amount that I gave my family, would our church be able to make it here? If everybody gave what we gave, would we be okay? Now ask yourself that. I'm only saying that because I love you and it's the truth. I'm only saying that because we need to grow in all areas. We need to grow in our prayer. We need to grow in our serving. We need to grow in our giving here. God won't bless a church that's stingy. He won't do that. He won't bless a stingy. He won't bless stingy people. Where there's a vision, there's provision. But God won't bless people that are stingy or withholding from him what is his. He doesn't bless a dishonorable church. He won't do that. He won't do that. I won't have nothing to do with that. But he will bless people who put him first. And I say again, God doesn't want your money. He wants your heart. So if you're not saved, this message really wasn't for you. This part's for you. You need to be saved. God loves you. God doesn't want your money. God wants your heart. He wants you to give him your heart. Because God has given you the best he has, that is his son. And all you got to do is receive the gift by faith. And say, God, I am a sinner. I need a savior. I know I haven't done things that are great. And I just want to say, God, forgive me. Use me for your purpose and for your glory. So if that's you, if you're not saved, we want you to be saved today. Saved means to be saved from your sin. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God, eternal life through Christ Jesus, as the PowerPoint says. That's the free gift of God. So next slide. So we can see that. Next. There we go. Thank you. This is the slide. Salvation brings about freedom. It's a gift. Do you want to be free? I do. Are you tired of living the way you're living? no purpose, just going through life. But do you want to go through life with God? Life is better with God. Life is better with Jesus. He loves you and wants to use you for his purpose. Surrender your life to him, serve him and not money, and see what God does for you.